allegiance.
Two presentations tonight to start the meeting off. First, we have some folks here to talk with us about some of the programs that are offered through our local BOCES. And then immediately thereafter, we'll have a presentation from our local guidance faculty. So if we can start off with BOCES, Mr. Dexter.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. We appreciate
to have you here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dean, Mr. Barber, and it's a pleasure to be here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jim Dexter, and I'm privileged and honored to be the district superintendent for our local BOCES. And every year I send an email out to the district saying, if you're interested in having us come out and talk a little bit about our programs, Mr. D always replies and says, we always want to learn and hear from our kids. And we know that the BOCES is an investment on behalf of the districts in many ways. And we always find the best way to tell our story is through the kids. So we have three students with us tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about their programs. Whitehall participates in a whole number of programs, not just the programs here tonight, but this is a sampling of some of the programs that you do participate in. And as always, you'll find tonight you send great kids to us, and it's really a privilege and honor. So we want you to learn a little bit about the trades that they're in, but also how math and ELA is integrated, and about some of their leadership opportunities. And so I'm going to turn over to Tony Muller, our Deputy District Superintendent, who will talk, have the kids talk with you. We encourage you to ask questions and talk with them. And then afterwards, we're happy to answer any questions about the BOCES that you have, then we'll get that out of your way. So, Tony.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks for having us here tonight. And I'm going to prompt your students to make it a little bit easier for them, because sometimes some of us get a little scary looking up here. But we have three of you students. We have Hannah Stevens, who's here, and Hunter Ostrander, and Josiah Lavin. So all three different programs. And Hannah decided that she volunteered to go first because I asked her to go first. So Hannah, tell everybody the program you're in and why you chose the program that you're in.
I do early childhood education, and I chose that because I want to go into the education program after high school, and I thought that it would be a very good opportunity. I heard from it from a family member. She is in it right now, and she told me that they had a preschool there for the first year that you could do it, and then the second year you do an internship. That's what I'm doing right now at the elementary school. And I interned in the kindergarten class, so it just kind of gives me a feel of what I would be doing after high school. And
you didn't really need much prompting on that. So tell us a little bit about your ELA and the math. Do you have any program?
So the ELA, we do resumes and applications, and we called preschools and kind of get some
so talk about the health board and the lesson plans.
In math we made felt boards with a story time, and we had to measure out how much felt we use and the puffy paint. Had to find out how much that would cost for it all. We had to measure out how much we used and see the area of it all.
And what about certifications? The certification that you
We get certified in CPR and first aid. And then at the end of the year, we take a NOPTI exam. It's not bad if you fail, but if you do, you get a seal on your diploma. Kind of helps you stand out.
CPR endorsement, right? Mm-hmm. And talk a little bit also, a little bit more about your internship, because your internship is actually kind of unique for the district, too.
I intern at the elementary school here at Whitehall. So I started that in October, and I'm going to be going until April. I go on Wednesdays and Thursdays, usually about 7 hours a week. I do both kindergarten classes, so I'll do one day and the other day. And I kind of just help out the teacher, whatever she needs, or read the kids a book, say, want to listen to a book, help the children with their work. I go to specials with them. It's pretty fun.
So when you graduate high school, you were by completing the program, you're prepared to be. What's the position that you're prepared for?
Oh, I'm gonna go for childhood education and special education, so that'll kind of help me with what I'm gonna do there.
And after completing the program, she's also eligible to be a have the hours and the requirements to be a teacher aide in a program. Do you want to ask Hannah questions, or do you want to go through all three?
I already asked all my questions of Hannah today, so she's good. She gave me all the answers.
Okay, great. Hunter, tell us about your program.
I'm in machine tool tech. I can basically take a piece of raw metal, make it into a part of a bowl, or an exhaust part, or an engine part. It can be used for, and also make stuff like the medical field,
talk a little bit about your math and English.
My math is more like trig, algebra, geometry. And our English is like resumes, interviewing, and applying for jobs in colleges and such.
Okay, and so how did you find out about your program?
I found out about the program from people I've been at previously. They've always been interested in stuff about how parts are made and how they work together.
And also, today you had your internship or job shadowing for the first time. Talk about that a little bit.
I had my internship at BD Bard. I was going to make medical parts for catheters. And really,
what was he making today?
Little parts to go in.
I think they're shunts for putting shots in. And the types of materials. And
materials are titanium, platinum, and stainless steel.
And what are some of your plans for?
Either going straight to the workforce or going to college.
And Josiah. So Josiah is an interesting program.
I'm heavy equipment maintenance operation. I learned about this program through friends that have previously been in the course. And basically what we do in the course, first year, which I'm in, we learn about the equipment, went over how to operate the equipment properly and what we should, and the steps we should take while operating the equipment. And we also learn the proper way to run the equipment without hurting anybody or causing any major injuries. We worked on a job site this year in Monroe, making a soccer field. We all got to participate and run a bunch of equipment. There was also a group of us that went and ran a wood chipper with a bunch of other people, learned how to properly run a chainsaw, learned the proper equipment to wear and use while running a chainsaw. We also got to learn how to properly run payloader and backhoe after a couple weeks of being there, and we read over the manuals on them and learned all about them before we ran them. And the second year course is offering a CDL course, which I'm really looking forward to, because after I'm done with this course, I'm looking forward to joining the railroad. And that's my father works there, and he's told me a lot about how people try to get in, but they don't have really a lot of experience with like truck driving and equipment running. So I'm hoping with this course that I use, that having the certification for heavy equipment and operations and having my CDL, because they drive a truck there too, that I can get into the railroad easier.
That's great. And what were the certifications that you have in your program?
I have the NACTI and machining certification.
And the machining certification. So all of our programs, we try to build in the industry certifications that will make them marketable right after high school, give them some skills, give them some options, too, for either college or career immediately following school. And work-based learning experiences and opportunities are a key component to it. Also, there are leadership opportunities in BOCES through SkillsUSA, or any of you participating in SkillsUSA this year. SkillsUSA is where the students get to compete against other students across the state in the similar programs, and they do that at various stages and various years. So, questions for your students?
I'd like to know what some of the equipment is that you use at the machine program.
I use lathes, mills, CNC lathes, and CNC mills. Drill presses, bandsaws.
Did you have any experience with any of that equipment before you started?
No.
So it was all new?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And do you like the smaller stuff or the bigger things?
Bigger parts.
Bigger parts are cooler. Okay.
And most of the field is CNC right now, right? So
yeah.
You do some hands-on, but that's CNC. So how is that done? What do you have to do to tell the machine to?
And what does CNC stand for?
CNC is computer numerical control. Especially each one of the parts, you have to write as a code telling it what to do.
So it's coding. So
yeah.
Didn't BOCES purchase some new equipment in the heavy machinery?
Yeah, we bought two new CNC. So we now have four big, large CNC machines, and we also all the presses are all digital now. And we still have a few hand things in there, but most everything in there, I think, is digital now, right?
There's four CNCs and 15 hand machines in there.
Yeah, what the ones that have come down with the computer thing, what are, and then we have the trainers as well. What are those?
Those are those.
And so those are digital as well.
And heavy equipment, we have some new equipment purchased for that program as well.
What equipment do you get to use?
We used a couple new machines that were brought to us were CAT track skid steer and a wheeled skid steer that we used on the job site in Morrell.
And the new dump trucks, we have two new dump trucks for each campus. Up north, we actually have an automatic and a standard. They actually let me try the standard. Double clutching is not the same as regular clutching. They got lots of few teeth in the parking lot.
I think we have some mini excavators.
Yes. Mini excavators, a new tractor for the tractor trailer too for students and mm-hmm. maintenance. And
we have a new tractor, new trailer too. So first of all, thanks to you guys for giving our students some additional training that they can't get here locally. But do we have services or resources allocated that recommend follow-on educational classes for them and what they're doing, or potentially even job placement after they finish up in their last year?
So we have, school to work coordinators, and part of their job is to help students, but not only guidance counselors, but folks who actually help students connect from their internships to employment. A lot of our students go directly when they go to the workforce. The folks who bring them in for internships often will hire them for employment. So we do have folks who are able to do that. As far as follow-up school, we do have an adult program, but it's more parallel. It's not necessarily follow-up. It's providing those adults in the region with the same skills. We don't have them on all the programs we have for school age. But most students, if they want to go on to further, they'll either go to a union shop like plumbing or that kind of thing, or they'll go to a technical school or a two-year college tradition.
You give them guidance in that regard.
Yep, we have a guidance counselor. Actually, quite a few of our students actually go on to college, more than people realize. We're actually trying to have a focus, too, to make sure that if students want to go to the workforce, that they end up in a job connected to their the field that they're studying. I think that's an area that we've been looking at, try to get data on when students go to the workforce. Do they actually go right into the field, or do they end up sometimes going into other jobs that maybe don't make as much money? So that's an area of concentration we have now to make sure that if students go, that they're more likely than not. And we have some more work to do in some of those areas.
Every program has an articulation agreement. Every program, I'm correct in that,
yep,
right?
Every program.
Articulation agreements with a minimum, I think it's a minimum of two schools. Some programs have up to seven or eight college-level programs where our students actually enter with college credit, you know, like your college courses here. So, yeah.
There are sometimes early advanced stages of admittance, different types of articulation agreements.
And we have the advisory committees with have business and industry partners to sit on those committees. So they're constantly coming in. And I know in the, you know, especially in some of the programs, there's a welding certification. We have a welding program, but welding is also a component of the heavy equipment. The employees, employers out there are coming in, and basically if students are interested, they can get them employed immediately after high school if they're interested, because the workforce is, the needs for a strong workforce and skilled workforce is great in the area.
People are banging down our doors for students like this. We get a lot of calls from employers. For machine shop, there's a lot of machine shops in Washington County and Warren County, and we're running an evening program as well for machine shops. And no matter how many students we produce, they say we need more. But if you look at the number of baby boomers in the skills and the trades right now, you know, look at your average age of your plumber, look at your electrician. It's they're starting to panic a little bit about the number of because they can't grow their business or even maintain their business without the workforce. As far as the CDL, of course, that's a universal trade. I know there was a young lady who graduated from the Myers Center who just got offered a job, and she's 19, and she just got a job at $27 an hour. She's 1 year out of school, and it's not uncommon for a CDL. That's such a valuable piece. And then our students not only do the equipment operation, but also we do diesel repair with them, which is really important in the job market. So we don't have a lack of interest. And then when it comes to like education, as we know that there's many areas that a lot of districts are having difficulty finding teachers now. So we want to encourage students to go into teaching too, because you know there's good jobs in teaching. Unlike 15 years ago, you can a lot of districts are looking for quality people now.
You won't even have to move.
That's great. As you know, we also have lots of other programs. I always, if the board ever wants to come by and sample our culinary program or do something like that, you know, we always encourage board visitations if you'd like to do that. But if you want to see any of our other programs, we'd be happy to take you through the site and do a tour for you at some point in time. Any other questions about for the students? Did a great job. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Now, you're certainly welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting.
You have two captive ones because they're in 12th grade.
Oh, so you're stuck for an hour.
And the last thing I'll say, Mr. Lee, is there any questions about the process itself that the board would like us to answer about the organization?
Do you see, what do you see on the horizon with regards to feedback from your advisory groups as far as where industry is headed from a needs perspective? Any different skills that they're looking for that you don't currently offer?
We often hear, we have a very full HVAC and evening HVAC program. That's another area where there's so many HVAC companies. We tend to do our electrical and plumbing within that context. We don't have a separate electrical trades and plumbing trades. They do it within that context. We've had some discussion on that area, and or increasing our HVAC, you know, having an HVAC presence in the northern part of the coast. So that one we always hear about. The machining, you know, like I said, we do it in the evening. If we weren't doing it in the evening, I think we'd have a riot on our hands from some of the machining companies. I think people don't really realize the value of these machine companies and how important they are. And, you know, of course, you guys have up the road, GE, I think they have, I don't even know how many machinists there, but there's hundreds of machinists there. And I think people think everything's automated, and that's not really the case in manufacturing. The other areas that
Actually, GE and Rellen has taken student interns from BOCES.
Yeah, and that's fairly new.
Wow. That's good. How desperate they are.
Yeah, and from our
great. From our hiring instantaneous.
Yeah. Our machine, you know, certainly.
I was saying, like even with the business and industry partners, so our automotive program, because the technology is changing, we constantly have to update our curriculum because of the way things are automated. And I remember back when I was doing points and using a timing light, and you don't do that anymore on a car. So it's really helping students have that broad spectrum of the new skills and the new technologies, but also there are a lot of old cars and vehicles out there too. So even like in the heavy equipment, we have some of the newer equipment, but we also have some of the older equipment, because chances are when students are graduating, they might not be trusted on the newest equipment out there by their employees until they get the experience. So we really try to make sure that we're keeping up with the standards, but also keeping it broad enough that they know everything a little bit of it.
The heavy equipment repair, that is always going to be big. They need operators, they need CDL folks, welders, and then, of course, like in the early college side, we have the advanced manufacturing, electrical technology. That's a huge need in many of the places, places out there. IT technology and the networking. What won't be networked in 5 years?
True.
And there's not enough people going into those fields. So those are a few of the areas that I know that we're trying to focus on, but. The question ultimately is, you know, we do have a declining enrollment in the area, so trying to figure out how we keep our current programs full without offering new programs. And also another area that's come to mind, we haven't figured out the right way to do it yet, but actually emergency responders, there's a lot of paramedic openings, a lot of openings for first responders or paid first responders in the area. There's a lot of interest in some of the students in that area. Students belong to fire companies, but we haven't quite figured out how to pull that one off yet. But we're working with the districts on different options.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
We appreciate all your point.
Thank you.
So our seniors get to stay?
Yeah, the seniors get to stay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. They're excited about
it. Josiah is on the way out.
Okay. You guys got some. On to our next presentation. So you guys got some. It's a tough act to follow.
Can you feel the heat?
I don't feel it right now, but when I just walk in here.
Hopefully I can be super fast with this, even though there's a lot of slides there, and I think I accidentally also showing that we encourage blue collar jobs with the amount of paper that we used up on this presentation thing to support our local industry. But this is going to be just a quick overview. A couple months ago I asked to come in a transition we have going on in guidance right now. I'm going to probably not use that word as much tonight, to also be able to help with the transition, because our profession has been going by school counseling for about 15 years. And for some folks, especially newer counselors coming out, which are trained, we're not so much the old school guidance counselor, the vocation certified person I can just talk about first. We are certified in mental health. We are also trained to be able to work with kids from K through 12 for most programs. So when we talk about guidance counseling, sometimes we get questions like, why do we need a middle school guidance counselor? Why do we need somebody at this level? And hopefully this will give you a little heads up of where we'd like to go. We had a transition, obviously, this year, and I'd like to take a few moments to introduce, for those who haven't had a chance to meet, Ms. Maynard, our new high school counselor, Andrea Maynard. Andrea and I have worked pretty close since she was able to get away from Afton. We had let us finally get her in January. But during the transition from our previous school counselor to having a rock star here on board, it became very obvious that we really need to jump into a lot of different things to be able to help our kids. And it's actually a pretty cool segue of all the things that were being offered here by BOCES to talk about that. But some of the pieces that we've wanted to do for a little bit of time, we've got some really cool ideas on where we'd like to go and try to help grow our nation getting there in the next couple of years. But first, just a little bit of a background overview on the purpose of school counseling. We're just not a one-stop shop. These are some of the pieces that we're trained in to try to help our educators, our school board, our community get our kids to that next level, just like we were just talking about. We have to be able to get better at finding out how many kids are being successful beyond June that they're graduating. We got to start keeping tabs of that, start being able to reach out and find out what can we do better every year, because you can always grow. helping build better citizens, we have to be able to be part of that solution. We can't just assume that a bunch of kids are going to move into district and just join right in River Nation and help support us. We want to help them to be able to build their roots, know where they come from, but also be able to be out there and represent us well, even beyond the days of wearing their jerseys and whatnot. And quite frankly, most importantly, their employability. It's the 21st century. It is changing. 5 years ago, everybody was majorly pushing colleges. Everybody's got to go to college, got to go to college, got to go to college. No, not necessarily. And to answer some of those other things that they were just talking about, the trades are the big push right now, and they have been for about 5 years. And with the baby boomers getting a little bit older here, they don't have somebody to fall back on. They don't have that, and there's a whole generation of younger than millennials, we can't just blame all millennials, that have not necessarily that motivational skill tactic, not because they don't want to do those jobs, it's just a different lifestyle that they've grown up in the information technology world and how they fit in the global economy. So these are kinds of the ways that we can impact the school counselors. They can help with achievement. We can help out with kids to be able to make better school choices, not just for their academics, but also every day. And the huge difference between guidance and counseling. We will guide them in all sorts of facets of the day, but that is to give them a chance to be able to learn and grow themselves. We can't hold their hand forever, but we can give them some insights on how to work that. And the counseling part, there's been a lot of counseling in the last 6 years. I think all my gray hairs and my beard are at least the last year and a half. But counseling is a never-ending thing. It starts not just at 7 o'clock in the morning when we roll in. It's here at 4:30, 5 o'clock at night sometimes when we're making sure that everybody's safe going home. And those are the things that we enjoy doing. That's what we do. That's how we make it. But if we don't start to figure out how to have a unified program and an actual solid program, which ESSA actually wants us to do, and we've been working with the administration to make sure that we're up to date on things, we're going to have spotty services. And this is where we're starting to see some gaps. In the last couple of months, reviewing some of our policies, programming, things that we've done in the past, sometimes it is a kid only hearing from a friend or a family member that went to overseas. We should be talking about that stuff at earlier ages. We should have a plan. It should be not just a teacher giving us a heads up on a referral. We should be actively engaged in the classroom. We should be actively engaged in working with the kids outside of school, in their sports, in their activities, in drama club, you name it. And it's not just the kids that are special ed that we should be, quote, paying attention to. They have their needs. We have access to everybody. We can help out with that. But there are other kids, too, in our whole district. And that's not a shot in any shape or form at our wonderful little munchkins. But the reality is we are here for all students. And there is a mandate, actually, with our profession that we have to, New York State says we have to be able to see all of our students on our caseload. At least, depending on what age level it is, at least once, most of the time twice, best practices 3 times a year. If you have 700 in K through 12, 745, I think that was the new update after the big influx in January, that if we had that many and we actually were down into the kindergarten up through fifth grade, we would have 300 something students that we'd have to see in the same rest of the year. There's 180 days in the year. On top of that, all the other roles and responsibilities we have, it would be darn near impossible to do. Luckily, we have a school social worker. It would be great if we had another elementary guidance counselor. That would be awesome because then we could do a super program. But for the meantime, we've got some things that we're hoping to do, and Andrew's been able to help out making some changes too as well along the way in our guidance program because we need to do both individual and classroom guidance. That's pushing to people. That's going in, talking with the kids, finding out what they need based on the lessons we're bringing in, if we're having problems with behavioral because the data's showing that there's certain kids that are acting out, we start getting indicated and targeting intervention stuff. We work with kids individually to be able to help them with their academics, to be able to help them with their social-emotional needs, and sometimes even referring them out as we have Cleo in our school, but also other resources throughout our region. But we are also advocates because sometimes in order to do that, yes, we have individual students, but we have to be able to pull them all in. Because they may have the same problems. There's issues that come up, whether it's in the middle school age, tends to be a lot of social-emotional stuff. High school age, you're trying to figure out what they want to do beyond high school. lesson providers, in our point of view, is that it's not just us. It really is a collaborative team effort. And guidance lessons, so to speak, they can come from school counselors, they can come from teacher advisors, community members. We have a lot of community groups that work with us, the Council for Prevention, the ELKs have been supportive in the past with lots of different things. We try to do a collaborative approach because we're all one railroad nation trying to help our kids be successful to the next round. And instead of just trying to do one or two things here, we would like to try to make it more open so that everybody is part of that process. And one good example that Andrew's been able to work on in the last couple of weeks is trying to make sure all of our seniors are ready to graduate this year and getting everything all organized. And some of you who have seniors may have seen the letter that was sent home, and that's in your packet as an example of trying to reach out and have the parents come and be part of that process. This is the first year doing it, but also, as you see in our little newsletter, one of the parts of the article talk about inviting them in. So even in sixth grade and up through, we're going to start inviting the parents to be part of that process so they know what their child is supposed to be doing in the next couple of classes, to be able to introduce them to any of those pieces. And if they can't reach out, we'll try to have different forms of communication with them. Instead of people showing up their senior year, and that's literally the first time they got to meet them. That's not how we can help support our kids, and that's not what school counseling program really should be. But these are some examples. If we shift up our guidance curriculum that we've been working on, it's still going to be a process here, but we've been working on some examples of how to touch on the three domains that we do as school counselors in our profession. Everybody has their own pieces in education. Teachers have the different standards they have to teach, whether it's Common Core related or just their own specific domain. But those are the different layers that we have to integrate. So as advocates, you see some of the examples right up here. These are things that we say, I mean, some of us joke, this is what we see every period. It could be any mix, and some of the teachers would smile and nod and be like, oh yeah, that was like third period, that's was second period. But the sad part is there are some things on there that are super long-term. And unfortunately, we've had some of these major ones that are up there that are very scary that you may not know about. But that's because we were able to reach out and quietly help those families get the help that they need so that it didn't become a stigma, it didn't become some sort of trauma that kept the kid from being successful. And unfortunately, there's some that still continue to do some of those things or kind of go down those negative paths. That's why it's important to have resources like school counselors who have that background, again, not just in one frame. But similar to our PST process, which is a people study team that looks at our academics, we're trying to be able to make it more effective and efficient, not just do a band-aid. We want to be able to find out why a kid's struggling with certain things. So we'll have different, hopefully, down the road, tasks kind of leading up to this. We'll talk with the PST groups. We might even actually have our own version of that to talk about the different layers. Many times when I talk to a parent, I'll say something like to explain to them, what's a school counselor do? What's the difference between a school counselor, a social worker, or a school psychologist? We're the PA that comes in when you go into your appointment. We talk to you real quick or something like this. We're the generalists. And if we think it's really bad, we're going to refer you out. And that's where the social worker and the school psychologist come in at those stages. But for the most part, we're the ones that sometimes you don't see your doctor ever. You only see your PA. And that's the nice thing about school counseling is we have that background so we can work with families to be able to meet some of these needs. We need to do a little bit better job of, in my opinion, again, been here, this is number 11 for the years I've been here in Railroad Nation. I think we could benefit from doing some of these things better. Just doing some reflective stuff for the last couple of months. And if we're going to be able to truly make some inroads and start to meet the needs of our 21st century learners, to meet the needs when we hear from them, what they need, and wish they had when they were here in school, we have to actually give the kids and our colleagues, the faculty and staff, the tools and resources data-wise to know what the kids need. That's one of our roles. So if we can't communicate, we can't share out, we're going to actually handcuff out to everybody. They're not going to be able to be able to help our munchkins be successful. These are some people may not realize, but some of the extra things. When I said you had so many kids you have to be able to see, and then you got to also see all the crisis, and then, oh, this girl doesn't like me, or this one called me up. all this other stuff is going on, then we still have to do this. Luckily, we have some good supports again from our colleagues. We have great faculty and staff. We have great administrators that always help us with these, but some of these things we can get a little bit better at, because if you're looking at any of these up here, you're like, I didn't know we did this. I didn't know the district provided that. That's one of the problems that I've seen in the past. People didn't realize we had opportunities like some of the kids were discussing here in the OC stuff. So, to quickly go through this packet, actually, there's a bunch of those pieces here, but part of the new school counseling curriculum that has to be out there is something called an advisory council. Down the road, we're going to probably ask out for the board, community members, faculty, staff, and whoever, to help create an advisory to help advise us how better to provide services in our role. This is part of our professional drive. This is also, again, part of the mandates that are coming down the pike from the state of what we should be doing. The advisor would meet multiple times in the year. Again, it would be made up of board members, parents, students, any other groups, and then definitely strongly encourage community business owners or leaders to be able to, again, give us that feedback. Very similar to Mr. Dexter, what he was talking about with their advisory and being able to do those things, we need to have one local too. If you have that, then we're going to be able to start to touch on all the different data visions on here. We want to be able to have achievement choices. We want to be able to give the kids a chance to do something. A few years back, we did distance learning. Give these kids opportunities to be able to take courses they would never be able to get here. We just sat in on a meeting to be able to find out that the network has actually grown threefold. So instead of kids only in the Capital District, North Country region being able to be in classes, they're looking at expanding out into Buffalo, Western New York, etc., so that it, all of our schools in our area, if they still want to take that one class that we don't offer, we can't seem to fit into our schedule, we're not going to pigeonhole a kid and say, well, we can't. If we have the availability to be able to use that, those are kinds of opportunities that can create success in that pop-up and utilize the resources we do have. Give our kids a chance to say, we can do something here at Whitehall. I hate it when I hear a kid say that, oh, I can't do it because I'm from Whitehall. It drives me nuts. And I correct them just as fast as they say it, because I can't stand that negativity toxicness. And they get it money because I give them a lecture. But I want them to be able to feel that strong, that passion. If they can do that, this will give them a chance to have an experience, they'll have success, because knowledge is based on understanding and experience. And part of that is also to prove we have other needs. If we have the data and we start to get that success, hopefully this oscillator right here is going to help me out to be able to show if we really want to make a major impact long term. We can have all sorts of short term goals, we can achieve them. But our long term purpose is to educate the 21st century and get our students out there and be successful and be able to give back later on. We can show the impact of having a few more school counselors down the road. That's going to be my goal, at least, as my role as a school counselor here, is to show you all that if we can actually have more support on those levels at the younger ages, it makes it easier for the students, it makes it easier for the faculty, it makes it easier for the families. Because then they have an advocate, not just in one spot of the building, they can have an advocate all the way through. And that's one piece of feedback that over the years I've heard. A lot of nice little positive high fives, but I want to hear that from everybody all the way through. Organization to be successful in the kinds of things that we can offer to be able to achieve student goals that they have visions, not just in their junior, but have visions that can come to fruition in their 7th and 8th grade. I want them to be able to do activities. I want to be able to have the opportunity to go, like the piece that you just talked about with GE offering that internship. That's great. There's that, and there's also the IP. They're looking for people constantly. Mm-hmm. And they will hire a senior right off the bat if they've got the skill.
Right.
But they don't know that, because they don't get a chance to visit that place and see that and see how hard it would be, maybe even intern or practicum over summer. But we need to start preparing the kids, not just for life down the road, but really how to believe in themselves a little bit more. Not just because of part of the mission. That ties into these last two or three slides here. we're really looking at that down the road. I talked previously to some of the folks, but I would like it so that it's kind of a personal thing, but I'd like to be able to make sure that next year we go into 2019-2020 where we split the alphabet or we do something so we both are available for our students. Because in the past, one of the things that's gotten away, I think a lot of kids, they may have been looking for one person or another, but if we're in different grade levels only, that doesn't help the kid out. And it definitely doesn't help the family try to call and ask a question. If we're both available, we're both on the 6-12 spectrum, so to speak, we will be available. And it also leads to greater support for our kids and consistency. Because if we work together, the biggest thing to be able to overcome any challenge for an adolescent is consistency, especially security. If you feel like somebody cares and they have that person in their corner, they'll be successful. But it also will help us meet those needs that are coming down the pike with requirements as well. So two best practice kind of things I'll throw out is hopefully this summer, this is a shameless plug. I can honestly say I haven't in 11 years, except for the last 3 years, had this kind of support to have extra summertime. In middle school, I've had to have like 6 or 8 days. It's hard to do that railroad camp with all that many things and be able to do summer school things and everything else. So in order to get some of these five-year plans in order, proposing down the road the conversations around continuing to have summer days so that one of us at least is available for the community, for the kids, for the faculty, staff, registrations, for transcripts, summer regions, all those things happen. But if we only have like 10 days and we're here, because we're only 10-month employees, my wife is going to kill me if I keep doing half days over summer so I have extra days. So, but this is the kind of stuff that I think that we can get to, and that's that data from that previous slide. And we really need your help, because that local advisory is going to help us have accountability to it. We can't just go up here and pitch that we should do these great things or whatever. We need somebody to also hold us accountable and make sure that we're going to do
part of the summertime, too, is I know I have a
Summer
Camp Friday that I'm finally jumping into that. I know I have a lot of goals that I would like to accomplish over the summer as far as helping to create a more comprehensive counseling program. And I've kind of learned as I've been here the past couple, well, month and a half, about 2 months now, that there's a lot of little gaps that I'm finding, things where, you know, there are missing areas where we can really reach out to our students and help them out. And part of that summertime, it'll be, you know, planning times when we can go into classrooms and we can provide them not just like a little hodgepodge of lessons, but something that has meaning, something that involves maybe community members, something that helps students see the importance of their education and how we can translate what they're learning into their life after graduation. I would love the chance to start reaching out to local businesses, seeing what kind of field trips or you know, that kind of school to work experience that we can get them. Anything to get them understanding that high school is so important, and that graduation, even though some of them, you know, they really struggle to get there, having that diploma will really benefit them in the future. And as you can see on the packet, with the counseling courier on the top, one of my big things is having communication between myself and families. I think it's so important that families know what we're doing as school counselors, that we're not just making these decisions about their child's future without them involved, which is why I have, with the senior meetings, which is what I've done so far, I've invited every parent. I believe I had about 16 parents come to their senior meetings, and I heard very positive feedback from them. They were so happy to finally meet with a counselor, talk about their child's future. Personally, I just felt bad because they should have been meeting with a counselor in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, having those discussions early on. What do you want to do with your future? We might see a kid 4 times a year, 5 times a year. Parents are seeing their kid every single night. They're the ones that know their child. They're the ones that know their capabilities, and they're the ones that can encourage them when we don't see them, which is most of the time. So communication is so key. So we've incorporated a monthly newsletter to keep parents informed. I have a lot of seniors stressing about scholarships during my senior meetings. So we did a lot to compile a whole list of scholarships, scholarship information that's on the guidance webpage. And on the counseling courier, every month there'll be a list of highlighted scholarships. I would love to get into classrooms and teach kids how to look for scholarships themselves, because I can spend hours and hours and hours searching for scholarships. I pretty much paid for college through scholarships, but my work isn't enough. They need to have that self-motivation as well. So we've got the courier, we've got letters. I'm not afraid to call parents, remind them, send emails, all that fun stuff. So communication is key, and I think having that little summertime would definitely benefit. I know myself walking into this position halfway through the year, October, if we do make some of these changes. So yeah, that's my little spiel.
So if you have any further questions, and obviously Nordahl has the abridged version of the original PowerPoint, but in the future when we roll something like this out, we would have a parent night, meeting night, to be able to kind of introduce ourselves, so to speak, in the new Railroad Nation School Counseling Department. Because it is not just the guidance counselors, as folks would call us. It is also our school social worker. It's our school psychologist. It's our partnership with CLEO. It's everybody. And that whole center is the first thing we introduce all of our newbies that come in. In the heart of the building, it's kind of ironic that most of the people that you're going to meet the most, the principal, the dean, the nurse, the psychologist, the school counselors, are all smack dab in the middle of that school. That's why we're there in the heart of the building, because we're there for the kids 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot to mention one more. One of the sheets in the packet is a four-year plan. New York State requires that all students have a four-year plan or some sort of working worksheet where they have some sort of discussion about what they want to do when they get older or what classes might benefit them. So we created a little four-year plan for them that in our meetings when we meet with them, we go over what classes they're taking or what classes might benefit them with their goals that they might have. On the back, there's a little bit of a little spot for that career plan. It, we kind of try to consolidate on one sheet. That way, students can see the progression. If you give them a whole bunch of paperwork, they kind of shut down. So the less, the better. And it keeps us concise and to the point, and it helps them kind of guide that discussion as well.
And it really helps out with checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that the kids are getting what they deserve, what they need. And to be able to find out if the kids actually potentially, they never realized, they could get an advanced Regents. They may not have known that. But to be able to get that and to see the faces of some kids that have been pleasantly surprised with some of these updates has been pretty cool in the last month and a half. So. But if you have any other further questions or whatever, feel free to either ask away or check in at the same time.
Yeah. For you guys, as always. Fantastic presentation, by the way. You've all known Topher for a long time. You've also bought incredibly. We don't know you yet, so I know you'll probably follow suit. But this is like a plate full of, you know, a lot of lofty goals. Some of our mandated requirements, I don't even see how two people could begin to accomplish 50% of what is iterated up here for 300 students, let alone 700-ish. What do we need to do resource-wise to make that better?
There's always consideration for staffing. getting an appropriate plan in place for the staffing needs that's sustainable is always the tricky thing. So, you know, what Topher and Andrew have put together is certainly best practice, but best practice is not always something that the districts are able to do, you know, right out the gates. I think the plans that they have in place, particularly with summer days, will make a big difference. I know that since Andrea came on board, and she has had the opportunity to sit with our seniors, we've uncovered some issues from the past that are now being addressed that will make a big difference for our student population right out of the gates, as far as graduation with designation. Regents that students didn't know about previously. So I think just having the dynamic rule that we have now at the high school is going to make
very significant difference. I think we'll have a better sense of what our needs are after we have the opportunity to work with these two for about a year, and then start making some decisions about how do we staff perhaps the elementary school to have a more continuous service K through 12. Those are certainly discussions.
And if I can add, so that's where the advisory committees do come in, so that how do that they're able to go back to administration and the board to be able to say, how do we do these things? And that's where the advisory piece helps us so we can be on task and not have to worry about how to figure out those kinds of things too.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Thank
but
you.
We're crazy. Thank you guys for your time today.
You know, one of the important things to note is graduation rate is something that's looked at on a year-to-year basis by the state education department, and also part of whether or not a district meets its annual goals and objectives that are set by the state. Part of that monitoring includes the number of students, percentage of students that are graduating with advanced designation, that have got the regions versus the local diploma. And in the past, that wasn't necessarily always looked at by our 9 through 12 counselor. And that was kind of uncovered, since Ms. Maynard has joined us. So I'm very happy that many of these issues are being addressed now and that these issues are uncovered. So I'm confident that moving forward, not only is the professionalism that we have in the guidance office going to help the individual students, but it'll help the district as far as its performance. And the better we look as a district, it certainly helps us with recruitment with our teachers, and it also helps out with individuals moving into our community. So the better we look as a school district, certainly is good for the school, but even more importantly, it's good for the students that we have here. So, a lot has happened in a very short period of time in the guidance office, and I look forward to the continued changes. So, thank you to both of you.
All right. Moving right along. We are down to board comments. Does anyone have anything they want to face?
I got a public announcement. So, Saturday, March 16th, 2 weeks from this Saturday, is the official 100-year anniversary birthday for the American Legion at the national level. So the Whitehall Post 83 is going to put on a dinner at the Whitehall Athletic Club, open to the public, not just veterans, not just the organizations at the Post. So it's going to be a full meal, typical upstate New York wintertime roast pork, potatoes, vegetables, salad, roll. We got a DJ who's going to be on board. There's a drink coupon that comes with it. It starts at about 5 o'clock, and it goes to probably about 10. Tickets are going to be $25 per person, but it's going to be a real nice night, so I encourage you at least to spread the word and put it out there. We'd like to see as many people attend as possible.
What's at the Elks?
It's going to be at Armory. So you got plenty of room, and it's open to the public.
Great. Anything else?
Mr. Trowbridge has something he would like to share in reference.
Yeah, quickly. The St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital has a mathathon, and we participate every 2 years, and this was our year. And we had 75 students sign up, and we do a week challenge, which we do just before the February break. That gives us kind of a week to tally up our monies. And St. Jude's recommended that a school our size could probably raise about $2,000. Well, typical Whitehall fashion, we doubled that. We raised $4,154 for St. Jude's from 75 students who signed up. And a couple, it's awesome. The kids do a ton of math, and it's really a win-win for everybody. A couple of our students raised a ton of money. Aubrey Cook, a second grader, raised $302. Avery Ferguson, another second grader, raised $280. Colin Trevelyan raised $250. Seth Arquette raised 200. Max Hollister raised 185. Autumn Hilder 170 as a kindergartner. It's just, you know, it's amazing what you all can do when they put their minds to it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'd like to thank Brittany Ferguson and Stacy Trevelyan for heading that up. It's a good deal. The kids do a little extra math and save some money and don't realize you're doing some work. So.
And it was fun. The math
was fun.
On the computer, and he played the game.
Yeah,
proud of you.
Yeah. And he really thought he had to finish it to give the $200. I made him think that.
Whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Good deal. I do have just a few announcements. One, nominating petitions can be picked up beginning on March 1st. For individuals that have an interest in either continuing on the board if your term is ending, or folks that have an interest in running for Board of Education seats starting for the 19-20 school year. Also upcoming, we've got a blood drive occurring here at District March 14th at the high school. It's always fills right up every time we have these blood drives, so it's a great community event. And one of the really exciting things that's coming up for an outstanding cause is a fundraiser for the elementary, middle, high school backpack program, feeding program. On March 26th at 6:30, the Harvard Wizards will be coming here to play. Mr. Montville is going to be the center for the, the Whitehall team. So hopefully we get a great turnout. You know, we raise a lot of money for the backpack program. It's certainly a very worthy cause. I'd love to see a lot of people here. Quickly, big congratulations goes out to our winter sports teams, our coaches, and certainly the parents that you know, came to and transported students throughout the course of the season. Very, very proud of how our students performed, and even more importantly than their performance was their sportsmanship and behavior throughout the season. So exceptionally well done. Let's see, on March 8th, we've got the elementary school father-daughter dance, and then also on the 8th and the 9th, we have Greece happening here at the school. So hopefully people come out for those activities. It'll be a great time. March 11th, Battle of the Books at ACC. It's been moved to ACC this year from Skidmore, which is great because there's going to be parking, and it's going to be a better place. And the Pops concert is on the 13th. So a lot coming up in a very short period of time.
Board and staff awards. Need a motion to approve reports from January and early February for 2019 as presented.
So we recommend the board take action to approve.
Okay. Motion to approve those reports. Mm-hmm. Moved by Mr. LaChapelle.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rock. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approval of board minutes for February 25th, 2019.
Recommend the board take action to approve those minutes.
I have a motion to approve the minutes from that meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Norton.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Waters. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. CSE minutes. Okay. December 6th and the 18th.
I would recommend the board take action to approve the CSE CPSE minutes of December 6th and December 18th.
Okay. We have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Waters.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dudley. Is there any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Finance and audit minutes. February 25th.
Yes,
I'm sorry, January 28th.
Meeting was held back in on January 28th. There was a meeting today as well.
Yes, there was.
We didn't approve those yet. But so I would recommend the board take action to approve the minutes of audit and finance of January 28th.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Rock.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Waters. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Cross-country merger, 2019-20 school year.
This would be our second year participating in a merger with Granville. It was a big success last year, having the ability to run as a full team, and we're looking forward to participating with the Granville team again for the 19-20 school year with your approval.
Do you have a motion to approve that merger for the coming school year?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Norton, second by Mr. LaChapelle. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Leaves of absence. Anyone opposed to us doing these together?
No, not at all.
Okay. I would recommend the board take action to approve the leave of absence for Cassandra Hemsing, effective on or about June 25th and returning at the beginning of the 19-20 school year. And then also the approval of a paternity leave for Mr. Reynolds for 2 weeks, the first week beginning at the time of birth of their child, and then the second week beginning the day that Mrs. Reynolds returns.
Do we have a motion to approve those leaves of absence? Moved by Mr. LaChapelle.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dudley. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Congratulations, Mr. Reynolds.
Very.
Congratulations.
Resignations. We have two.
Yes.
Is everyone okay if we take action on these together?
I would recommend the board take action to approve the resignation for the purpose of retirement of Cindy Martell, with thanks for her many years here at the school district, and also a motion to approve the resignation of Mrs. Heather Marcone from her position as food service helper, effective at the close of business February 15, which has already occurred, and I'm hopeful that you will also appoint her to the position of elementary secretary. Is coming in a bit.
So she'll potentially be unemployed for
about
30 seconds.
Potentially.
You have a motion to approve those resignations?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Norton?
Second.
Second by Mr. Rock. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Appointments. We have a number, I guess.
Three plus.
Is that any objection to doing these together?
No.
Okay.
I would recommend the board take action for the appointment of Mrs. Brandy Bard to the position of substitute food service worker, effective February 26, 2019. All of her clearances have been obtained. I'd also recommend the appointment of Mrs. Elizabeth Ling to the position of specialist department chair, effective February 26th through the remainder of the 2018-19 school year. That's a result of Mr. Reynolds suddenly becoming very busy. I would also recommend Mrs. Heather Marcone to the position of account clerk typist up at the elementary building, effective February 19, 2019, and this appointment will be provisional based upon her successful completion of the appropriate civil service exam. Lastly, I recommend that the board take action to approve the following individuals for coaching for our spring sports: Mr. Ray Lyman, JV baseball; Boyd Hunt, modified baseball; Chelsea Morse, modified softball; and Mr. Kevin Gibo, modified tennis.
Mr. D, Brandy Bard also is for substitute teacher aide and bus aide, as well as the food service helper. We have her on there for a few things.
It's all in the same report.
All in the same,
yes,
yeah.
Okay. So let's add that as well.
Yep. Thank you. We have a motion to approve those appointments.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Waters.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Norton. Is there any discussion? Is the secretarial position 12 months?
It is.
It is. Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Stipends.
Last year, the board had the opportunity to listen to presentations from a couple of new groups that began, the first being our academic team, and the second being our Battle of the Books groups from the elementary school and the middle school. Very impressed with the performance of our academic team. It was run by Mr. E2 this year. Students worked exceptionally hard, had some stiff competition, and did extremely well, being only their second year in the program. With that said, I would recommend the board take action to approve Mr. E2's $1,250 academic team stipend. Additionally, last year our elementary and middle level students participated in Battle of the Books. And if you have an opportunity to attend the Battle of the Books competition, which is coming up, I'll include the date yet again in my Friday notes. I would strongly encourage you to attend. These students read 10 books that are chosen by a group of librarians throughout the region. And they answer some exceptionally difficult questions. These students put a great deal of time and effort into this program. So if you've got an opportunity to attend, I would strongly encourage your attendance. And with that said, I'd recommend the board take action to approve Karen Northrup, Abigail Novak, and Jennifer Boutan stipends for their participation in Battle of the Books.
Motion to approve the stipends? Moved by Mr. LaChapelle, seconded by Mr. Rock. Any discussion? Is that going to break down at the next meeting of our total spend on stipends? Please. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Disposal. We do have another pile of equipment that is beyond its useful life that we would like to dispose of. That which still has a value to it, we will put on Auctions International.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve those disposals?
So
moved. Moved by Mrs. Waters. Second?
Second.
Yeah. Second by Mr. Dudley. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Building use request.
We have a request this month for building usage by Val Wager for our wrestling banquet, which is scheduled for March 12th. I would recommend approval.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the building use.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Dudley.
Second.
Oh, that was close.
What are the judges
who was
say?
Down here? Mrs. Norton? Second by Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, we're down to public comments. If anyone has anything they want to raise on our agenda item tonight. Okay, I am going to ask that we adjourn into an executive session. Before I do that, I will say that I don't expect we're going to take any action when we come back out, so if anyone wants to hang around until we're done, they're welcome to do so, but they won't see much when we come out. So I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of the medical, financial, credit, or employment history of a particular person or corporation or matters leading to the appointment, employment, promotion, demotion, discipline, suspension, dismissal, or removal of a particular person or corporation. Moved by Mr. Rock.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Waters. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're going to do executive session. So
the seniors up here are going to want the signatures.
We can sign your sheets, and then everyone can be on their